for Psychedelic Studies, and you can find more about his work and their research at MAPS, that's MAPS.org. Rick, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you, Doug. I really feel this public education is crucial for keeping, you know, public support there for the research that we're trying to do. So thank you, too, Doug.
And you've been listening to Political Perspectives, host Doug McVeigh speaking with Rick Doblin of Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, all about MDMA. That's MAPS is the name of his organization. And at 10:15, stay tuned for Flashpoints. Today, looking at the presidential campaign of Marco Rubio, now funded by hedge fund billionaire Paul Singer. And at 11 o'clock, it's The Bike Show. Today, we have an archived show for you featuring information about cyclocross. Tori and Josie speak with Lawrence Malone, the godfather of cyclocross, Ryan Travone, and Sue Butler. And they'll be talking all about cyclocross. But for now, we're going to go to Eric Cascady with Chris Andre immediately following a short message. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO.
President Obama visits a federal prison. There's a call to federal prosecutors to lessen the use of mandatory minimums. There's bipartisan congressional support for reform. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear national leader Van Jones, who believes now is the time to end the mass incarceration industry in America. That's Prison Pipeline, November 9th at 6:30 p.m.
And the first one now will later be last, for the times, they are a-changin'.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, November 4th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm on the web. Today's guest is Tracy Fish. She's an independent investigative journalist, and she has been looking into the fate of pollinators, of bees, honeybees, in New York State. And of course, beekeepers in New York State don't necessarily keep bees in state. They are moved around from place to place, especially the bigger concerns move bees on a regular basis annually to places where pollinators are required. Unfortunately, agribusiness crops don't need pollinators, so they are not even on the map as far as agribusiness is concerned. And as we all know, agribusiness has pretty much privatized all public farm, publicly owned farmland to a degree never seen before, not anywhere in the world, not in recorded history, have we ever seen agriculture conducted on this vast basis. And at this point, it can't even be really technically called agriculture, but it does play a role in producing a great amount of cheap food. And that, of course, has downstream effects on our habitat, because no species can withstand limitless growth. So pollinators are right there in the chain at a key nexus, and we're going to talk about that based on some findings in New York State and a recent meeting that took place there. Mainly, the representatives at this so-called listening session were predominantly representatives of agribusiness. The article is called Hives of Controversy, and it came out in the Hill Country Observer. We could put links to that on the web. First, however, after Royal Dutch Shell's Arctic Dreams went south, they came up with a new old target, and that target is us. Yeah, that's right, us. Here it comes, a mile-long exploding train set just in time for Christmas. Shell wants to drive 100-car-long trains full of highly explosive Bakken oil through cities and towns of the Pacific Northwest. That is what we are confronted with. And the TransCanada's request for State Department demand to suspend the Keystone XL application. I wonder, of course, what that's about, as do we all. Again, they're looking for a new target. Oregon and federal officials will work over the next 3 years on plans to locate, protect, and restore sections of cold water habitat for migrating fish in the Columbia and Lower Willamette. Meanwhile, back at the water, back at the beach, the warm water produces these huge algae blooms, which are responsible for dumping domoic acid into the water, which causes sea lions to have seizures, and crabbing and pretty much all shellfish and clam digging to shut down up down the west coast, all the way down to Santa Barbara and beyond. We are being hit the hardest. In Seattle, this came out yesterday on the official wire, but it's been around for the alternative press for some time. And in McAlester, Oklahoma, death row inmate Richard Glossop is set to be executed on November 6th, despite a growing body of evidence to suggest his innocence. The man who accused Glossop of paying him to murder their boss, there is no actual connection between Glossop and the murder. Nothing, no evidence found. Chelsea Manning's letters from Leavenworth are now available on Shadowproof, which is, of course, Kevin Gostola's new incarnation of Fire Dog Lake. And the City of Portland Human Rights Commission is endorsing Occupation Free Portland's proposed statement to the Socially Responsive Investments Committee. They've been unanimously voted to support Occupation Free Portland's request to the city socially. We were trying to not do business with Caterpillar, G4S, Hewlett Packard, and Motorola all do business in Israel, and we want to shut down as many of these operations as possible in order to stop the genocide that's ongoing there. There's a Universal Declaration of Human Rights that we're talking about, and indeed its time has come, and we are well past that time for the Palestinian people if we are to preserve traditions and cultures that are millennia old. And now we go to Tracy Fish. Thank you very much for being so patient with this, Tracy. Thank you.
I'm pleased to be here.
And we are indeed very pleased to have you on. So the state of New York beekeepers have brought to talking about a colony collapse disorder.
Why don't I explain a little bit?
Please do.
Okay. A lot of beekeepers are not aware, really, of any kind of problem because they're small scale, they're newer, they think maybe it's mistakes they've made there, and they're also told that it's their problem that there are diseases and parasites in their hives. However, the statistics are quite grim. Last year, the year ending, I believe, in April, 54% of the honeybee colonies in New York died, and that is much, much higher than sustainable levels, which are considered about 15% loss. So there is a severe problem. And the federal the federal strategy coming out of the Obama administration on dealing with the stresses on pollinators, both honeybees and native bees, as well as other pollinators like butterflies and moths. And of course, we think of the monarch butterfly. So that strategy basically passes the buck on to the states, and the states are supposed to come up with their own plans. And, well, the most important piece of information to know is a relatively new family of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are neurotoxic and cause immune system problems in insects, and also have impacts on birds and frogs and a variety of other organisms. Though they have been implicated by a very large body of scientific study in causing a severe threat to bees.
Well, the neonicotinoids are everywhere. I understand that at the big box store selling all the, you know, petunias,
exactly.
They are already, the plants come treated.
Right. They're in the, all these ornamental plants and vegetable plants and such that you buy in big box stores or you buy commercial nurseries many times. But they're also used on ornamental trees and fruit trees, and they're used in all kinds of crops. One of the biggest usage, which is just amazing, is they are used as seed treatments on just about 100% of conventionally grown corn in this country, as well as at least half of the soybeans and many other crops. When you were talking about agribusiness, I believe you were referring to those sorts of field crops that we often call crops that you know, don't really need pollinators because they're not producing fruit, they're wind pollinated, they're not requiring bees. But the problem with these neonicotinoid insecticides is that, number one, they're systemic, and what that means is they're in every part of the plant. So they're taken in, either you spray them, they're taken in through the leaves, or they're taken in through the seed, or they're taken in from the soil, because they're also used in irrigation water and as a soil treatment. And then the pollen of that plant also contains neonicotinoids. So it's like giving someone a drug, and it's brought all over your body by your circulatory system. Well, these pesticides work the same way. So any animal eating the plant, eating the seed, will, you know, eating the leaves or collecting pollen will also be collecting neonicotinoids.
So these are neurotoxins. So they could indeed explain why the colonies are found empty.
Right,
the bees,
right.
And also what effect?
Well, let me go on, because this is not all. There's a couple of other problems with these insecticides. Another one is that they're very persistent. So you put them in the seed today. Well, next year, they're going to be in the soil long after the plant is harvested. They're going to stay in the soil. They can drift. They can run off. They persist in water, and they persist in soil. And when weeds grow, or say clover on the path outside of the crop field, they're going to be taken up by those plants as well. So any bees going on those plants would be picking up nectar and pollen that is contaminated. So it's a perfect storm. And they are neurotoxic, and the kinds of effects they have in bees include behavioral changes, learning problems. We have learning disabled bees. Bees communicate with one another. They tell where the flowers are and all those kinds of things. And this impairs their ability to remember things, it impairs their ability to learn, and it changes their behavior. It also affects their immune system. So when scientists or regulators say, well, the bees are dying from diseases. Well, it's already been shown that one of the fungal diseases of bees called Nosema is enhanced when bees are exposed to neonicotinoids. So it's really a sinister thing that's going on. There's this synergy happening that's causing all kinds of other problems to be more virulent, more harmful to the bees.
Tracy, we have one more minute. I have so many questions to ask you,
sure.
Bruce, but I don't know whether we're going to be able to get to everything. I do want to commend listeners' attention to this article that came out. It's really, really something. It's a little bit hard to get through because it is so the points that are brought up are seriously.
Why don't I talk a little bit about what's going on in New York, since
Please
I think
do.
Equivalent things are happening. So in New York, the thing that the state Governor Cuomo called for a pollinator task force, and this is going on in many states, and they're supposed to come up with a plan. Well, in New York State, the pollinator task force had 12 seats, and three of the seats went to the pesticide industry, two to the main lobby groups out of Washington, the main trade organizations, CropLife America and RISE, Responsible Industry for a Sound Environment. I say that, but that, well, anyway.
Tracy, we're completely out of time. We're going to have to invite you back, and we can record more. I want to cover all of this. Thank you so much for joining us today. My guest, of course, has been Tracy Fish, independent investigative journalist. And this has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. Tammy Dean engineered the show for today. Thanks, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Cable Community Radio presents Evil, Cruel Thing Attacking Humanity and Controlled by the Super